The Word of God, which we will consider today, is recorded in the 11th chapter of St. John's Gospel. There we read verses 25 through 27 in Jesus' name. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." These are the words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, fellow redeemed, the theme for the chapel services this week has been confidence to conquer death through Christ. Confidence to conquer death. That's quite a statement, isn't it? We might have a certain amount of confidence regarding some things. We might have confidence for success in the classroom, confidence for success in athletics, confidence to play a musical instrument. It's important, of course, that we be confident as we face various challenges in life. A negative, defeatist attitude will probably become a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we don't think that we can do something, we probably won't be able to do it. But confidence to conquer death, that's something altogether different, isn't it? And that is so because death is so powerful, so overwhelming, so sad, so awful. And though when we are young and healthy, we have trouble believing it, death is something that's inevitable. We might know of people who seem quite calm, quite confident in the face of death. Those people are usually actors in movies or characters in novels. To have confidence that we can conquer death on our own, by our own strength, our own cunning, that's absurd. The saying of the ancient philosopher seems still to hold true today, that says, when death has come, it's certain that life will not return. Death had come to a small village called Bethany. The body of a man named Lazarus was now, for the fourth day, lying inside a tomb, and his family and his friends were caught in deep grief. We don't know the cause of his death. Maybe it was an embolism. Maybe it was a rapidly moving disease. Perhaps a heart attack. Maybe it was a construction accident. We're not told the details, but we do know what lies behind any person's death, and that is sin. St. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, "The wages of sin is death." The prophet Ezekiel, through him the Lord said, "The soul that sins, it shall die." The germ of death entered into our world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in Eden. They failed to obey God's single commandment given to them, and so death entered the picture. After their fall, we begin in Scripture to hear a death bell tolling, as the chronologies of Adam's immediate children and ancestors are given, each one ends with this somber line, "And then he died, and then he died." Unless Jesus Christ returns for the judgment beforehand, death is something that will eventually come to all of us. For each of us were born carrying that germ of sin Adam brought into the world, and that shows itself each day in our actual sins of thought, what we say, what we do. The holy law of God decrees that sin results in death. That terrible truth was on full display that day at the place Jesus visited, a graveyard. filled with the dead and the grief-stricken dying. With that in mind, can anyone imagine a more peculiar conversation than the one that John relates here in our text? Or maybe it's better to ask it this way. Could there ever be more beautiful words for dying sinners to hear? Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." This means that those who believe in Jesus Christ possess life which will never, ever end. Our faith rests on him who died for each one of us. They're carrying all of our sins, taking them away on the cross. Our faith rests on him who rose again on the third day, exactly like he said he would. To be sure, we may all one day succumb to physical, temporal death. And yet, according to Jesus' promise, you and I have life even as our bodies die. We have that complete life, which for Jesus, as the Son of God, had no beginning, and that for those who trust in him will have no end. Believing in Jesus Christ, connected by faith to the living one, we can honestly look upon our own impending death as but the gateway into perfect life, to life stripped clean of all of its pain, all of its hardship and sorrow. It is true, here in the body, living here in this world, we dread the reality of physically dying. And so we fasten our seat belts, we lock our doors at night, we cross at the light. Yet for us, the fear of dying has been tampered down with the truth that death has been swallowed up in victory by the innocence and the suffering and the resurrection of Jesus. Because he is the life, we shall live. When you're talking with some person and that person has told you something very strange, amazing, and then that person looks you right in the eye and asks, "Do you believe me?" That's an important moment. There's something kind of powerful happening right there. All at once, you have to weigh the credibility of that person and the truthfulness of what they've told you. How you answer that question, "Do you believe this?" How you answer will impact probably your relationship going forward with that person. That's what happened to Martha, one of the dead man's sisters. There, standing in front of her brother's grave, Jesus told her that those who believe in him have life even though their bodies die. And then he asked her, "Do you believe this?" And she had to answer this question. She had to answer one way or the other. There was no getting around the question, no getting away with it. She couldn't offer some grammatically complicated answer or respond with some legalese. She had to say either yes or no. "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's own Son who lived without sin for you and that he died for you on the cross? Do you believe that Jesus rose again and that he is alive right now, that he's with us right now? Do you take Jesus at his word when he says, 'Whoever lives and believes in me will never die'? Do you believe that through faith in Jesus, you have already entered into eternal life and that when your body dies, you will go on and live with him in joy forever?" I pray that you do believe those things. The Bible teaches that only those who believe Jesus died and rose again from the dead will share in the resurrection unto life on the last day. Furthermore, it's God's will that you believe this. For that reason, he's given us his word to hear, as we can each day in chapel. He's given us the sacraments of baptism and communion. Through these means of grace, the Holy Spirit comes to us and creates and sustains saving faith in our hearts. By God's grace, his undeserved love for us, we really can answer Jesus' question as Martha did. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. May that be our answer today and tomorrow, and may it be our answer every day as we live here in this dangerous, unpredictable, tenuous world where there are no guarantees. Especially may our answer be like Martha's answer in our dying hour. For with such faith in Jesus as the promised Savior, death is conquered at last. With such trust, we will fall asleep in him and then wake up in his presence to the dawn of an everlasting day in paradise. All praise, honor, and glory to him who lived and died and rose again to give us the resurrection and eternal life. Amen.